I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep us stuck. Smashing the Plateau is part of the Best Network, dedicated to supporting individual entrepreneurs who are experts in their field, but may not be an expert at running a business. Best Network is ideal if you are an expertise-driven solopreneur business owner with many years of experience in your field. If you're a consultant, coach, or professional selling your knowledge and creativity, we're here for you. If you join the Best Network, you'll receive access to the full Smashing the Plateau archive of over 350 episodes, and you'll receive expert individual and team mentorship, peer support, and curated educational content that reinforces and expands our goal of the show, helping you get your business the recurring revenue it deserves. With teams of like-minded and supportive professionals surrounding you, you'll be perfectly poised to smash the plateau in your business with our membership programs. To learn more about joining the Best Network and how to smash your plateau, go to smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. That's smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Eric Kasimov. Eric is the founder of CasSource, a multifaceted business development company that includes CasCM, a content marketing agency, Sports Epreneur, a content platform, and CasSource Insurance, a life insurance brokerage firm. He is also the host of the podcast Entrepreneur Perspectives. For Eric and his team, it's all about helping entrepreneurs build and protect their business, and that starts with creating opportunities through content marketing. Eric grew up in Buffalo, New York, and remains a long-suffering Buffalo Bills fan. He currently resides in Charlotte, North Carolina, with his wife, a songwriter, and their three kids. For now, he still wins every driveway basketball game he plays against his son. Eric, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
It's an absolute privilege to be here, David. Thank you for having me.
So, Eric, why did you become an entrepreneur?
Well, really simply is it was what I've always wanted to do. I grew up, my father built a dental practice in Buffalo, New York, and my grandfather, my mom's father, owned a life insurance agency actually in Niagara Falls in Buffalo, New York. So entrepreneurship, you can say, was in my blood. And really, the other aspect of it is I just don't like being told what to do. So I realized at some point in my career, I would have to get into the position where I would be the one as the business owner to be the entrepreneur. And I also knew it took, I would have to put in my time. And I educate a lot of people on making sure that you put in your time. So when you get to that position, that you can finally make that decision to become an entrepreneur, that you've learned a lot. You've gone through these ups and downs. And I think it became a realization to me. My father used to tell me, you're not in charge until you're actually in charge. And a funny story, or kind of at the time, it wasn't so funny, but this is what kind of led me on my final journey of wanting to be an entrepreneur, was I was on vacation in Cancun, Mexico, came back, and it was a Sunday night, and I'd been working for this large insurance company for a couple of years, and I knew changes were on the horizon, but I didn't think anything drastic. I thought I was next up, right, for the next promotion. And sure enough, I get in, I have these three weird voicemails on my phone. This is when you would check the phone. It wasn't that long ago, but still seems a long time ago. Wasn't checking my iPhone, that's for sure. And these voicemails made it sound like, my company might not be around tomorrow, which would been Monday. And I told my wife that. She's like, well, why don't you go to the office on Monday and see what happens? We were newly married at the time. I show up to my office and sure thing, get off the elevator, and there's security waiting to escort me to my cubicle. And sure enough, no one else was there except for a small skeleton crew. They escorted me to my desk, had me grab my stuff. I wasn't allowed to get onto my computer, grab my stuff, walked out the door, and that was the end of it. My job was over. And that was a realization that changes were made that I had no control over. Our business was doing very well. A new CEO had come in and just decided, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. We want to make the change. This entire division, from top executives down to admin administration, was gone. Realized at that point that I really needed to fast track this thing, and this was real. My father, what he had told me was right. I didn't always like to say when my father was right, because like I said before, I don't like taking direction that well, but ended up you know, finding a new position after a couple different opportunities had come up that I didn't really like. And turned out that I worked at a company for 9 years and really loved what I was doing in the life insurance brokerage world. But again, three significant changes during this time. I thought I was running my own business while I was at this company, until every time they would come in and kind of change your comp plan, change your rules, change all these different things, change leadership. And on the third time, the third significant one, that is, there was many changes along the path. While I built a successful business, I realized this had come to an end, and it simply accelerated or fast-tracked my decision to become an entrepreneur. Again, this had been my goal, my dream all along, to run a business, but I didn't want to just do it because that's what I wanted. I needed to know that I had put in my time, put in my effort, and realized I was ready and had the people around me, which I want to talk about more today, to make sure that when I did make that decision, I was doing it so I could, you know, have the odds in my favor. But that, you know, taking it back to the very beginning of when I was young, to going through all these struggles and these ups and downs roller coaster rides, that's what it led for me to become an entrepreneur.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. And the story really resonates with me. I started my career as an engineer, and like you, a decision was made that had nothing to do with me that impacted my life. I was also newly married and found myself suddenly unemployed and trying to figure out what to do as well. I took a 20 plus year detour from engineering into the nonprofit world and ended up learning a lot about leadership and management before becoming an entrepreneur a little over a decade ago. And you're right, there's nothing has the impact quite like somebody else making decisions for you that you don't really want to be made.
That's absolutely right. And I think so many entrepreneurs have gone through these struggles or gone through these experiences. And I say struggles in a sense of, I think we have to struggle in order to gain something. I tell my kids this all the time. I know they think I'm crazy, but you're going through these struggles for a reason. These people are being put in your way for a reason, or these obstacles, right? But once you achieve those obstacles and you see that you can overcome them, you realize that it's not that big of a deal and you will get through it. But there's some days, you know, you think about it, you're like, wow, why am I doing this? But if you just keep pushing through and you're surrounded by the right people and you completely believe in what you're trying to accomplish, you know, the good things I truly believe will happen.
Absolutely. So now fast forward to where you are today. I find it interesting that you have an interesting mix of the kinds of business that you do and the way you do it. And there is a major theme of content marketing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I truly believe in content marketing. When I was in college, I studied corporate communications and business. And what does all that mean? I don't know. But I was in school and I was having a good time. And I knew I wanted to be in business in some sense. You know, taking it back even further, my mom's an artist and she paints, you know, canvas. And I always was amazed that you could take this blank piece of canvas and you could turn it into something, whatever you wanted to turn it into. And that's an artist, no matter how experienced or good, or if you're a young person just, you know, doing thumb painting for that matter. So I just was always amazed that an artist can take something from scratch and build it into something. And I was like, well, I'm not a painter. I'm not a musician. I love music too, but, you know, I talk to my wife's a songwriter, but it's interesting. How can you build something from scratch? And how could I do that? How could I do it for my business? And that's where content creation came along. I was like, well, I can write, I can talk about things, I have ideas, I have, like we just talked about before, David, I have these experiences, and I feel like I can give back to people, I can help people. And really at the same time, it's helping myself, right? You putting yourself out there, I believe helps yourself, because you better know what you're talking about if you're going to put yourself out there. So it makes you want to read more and do all these things. So content creation became at the core of what we started doing. Along those lines, we've talked about life insurance. Well, life insurance, I feel like the whole industry is a very slow developing industry. It's a slow growth industry. It's being disrupted in many different ways. And I thought the messaging and just life insurance in general was poor. And as I was, you know, no matter what part of the business you're in, if you're trying to sell to a consumer, if you're trying to sell to an advisor, if you're selling to a large company, or if you're software selling to somebody else, no matter what area you're in, I felt like the messaging was wrong or that just wasn't developed properly. So we wanted to change that and we wanted to create content. Well, what it turned out to be is it wasn't just insurance people that started to see what we were talking about. It was just business owners in general. So we just talked to business owners about their content marketing needs. What do they need to get over the hump? Because there's two things that we see with a lot of business owners is one is they don't have the know-how to do it. And it doesn't mean they don't know how to do it. It's they don't have the time to spend to learn how to do these things. And on the second thing is that point of time. They don't have the time to actually think about and do the stuff that goes into, as you know, running this podcast, David, how much effort and time goes into putting this podcast out or to writing a blog post. So taking it back, content marketing, I believe, is at the core of what so many people are doing. And you said it is an interesting mix. But what I find fascinating is I believe content marketing is the insurance policy for a business owner. Yes, we can sell you a buy-sell agreement, right? So if you have the two business partners, there's a buy-sell agreement that we can put in place to make sure if one thing happens to that business owner, that company's protected. But we also know that there's other disruptions that exist in the world today, whether it's government, competitors, just a change in the marketplace. Who knows if software, robots, there's all different things that are being developed. That I believe if you can create an audience, if you can develop your message, that if there are changes, that really won't impact you because you are going to be easy. You're going to able to pivot from whatever it is you're doing because you've built this audience. You are now considered possibly a thought leader. You have ideas that other people don't have. And I think, David, and you, I would hope you agree, like that ideas are what matters so much. Now, you need to be able to execute on those ideas, but you can't execute on something unless you have that idea. And a story that hit home for me is in 2015, I'm working on a significant life insurance case. And this life insurance case had been multiple years in the making, many different layers involved with this case. And as it turns out, the client decided to proceed forward with this life insurance case. And at the very last second, against the counsel of all of his side, not even our side, of his side of the equation, decided to back out of the deal at the very last second. And that was a tough one to take because I remember getting that phone call and sitting there and thinking, wow, we just lost this case and so many people wasted time. And I was like, you know what? This one's different. You know, you win some and you lose some in business, but this one felt a little bit different. And I even wrote a blog post about it. So I feel like you can document so many stories that you have. So it was just the realness of something that we had to deal with. But I was giving advice to people to not be disrupted, to create content, to tell your story. And I was going to make sure that situation was going to be me following my own advice. And that's when we doubled down on the content development, the content marketing business, if you will, and have grown it significantly since then, because I realized there was someone making a decision, and we were talking about this before, that I had zero control over. And once I realized that I had to go out there and I had to do certain things to make sure that we could create a business model, that we didn't have other people always making decisions out of our control and that we can control our future better and create, let's say, recurring revenue or things like that, that our business would be better, that the people that worked at CasSource would be better off for it, that our clients would be better for it. So it is absolutely at the core of what we do is content marketing.
Mm. To Eric's, you know, speaking, you just mentioned recurring revenue. So speaking of recurrent revenue and content creation, where do you see some of the connections?
Yeah. So for the insurance business, and I'll tie these two things together, we built our business on the insurance where we have a lot of advisors. So wealth advisors, property and casualty agencies, and they'd be bringing life insurance cases to us, right? And so they'd be bringing consistent business to us. But as any business goes, these advisors wouldn't always have great months or great years. So it seemed like recurring revenue in a way, and there's renewals built in the insurance business, but I'm talking about, you know, mainline business. It seemed like we had a recurring revenue model, but we really didn't because their business changed. And then we also realized that we're being held by the carriers to a standard to say, if we submitted a case and the underwriter said, well, we don't want that case, well, I have no control over that. I mean, we can negotiate a little bit, right? But at the end of the day, we really don't have that control. And that's a tough business model when someone else, that is the core of what we've been talking about, is in control of what we're doing. That became an issue. So how can we build a recurring revenue model? Well, what turned out is while we have clients that are paying us, you know, a one-time engagement or an annual engagement, most of our clients are paying monthly recurring fees to access us, to work with us, to get the content marketing. And so that is very different over these last few years of what we've developed. And it's been an incredible way to continue to build a business because as you can predict things now. Now I know, like, well, at the very minimum, this is coming in as long as we do our good work, of course, and support our clients, and which we're, you know, we try to do every single day. But if you have that monthly recurring revenue coming in, it really changes your outlook on the different things that you can do in business. So it's definitely been something new over these last few years that we've developed. But the important thing I would want to get at is we're not out there trying to get thousands of clients at a time. I'm not saying that's a bad business model. It's just not our business model. We are working with one client at a time. So to build a business model, we were lucky enough to have another business out there kind of supporting the growth of the marketing business, if you will, right? So what we decided is we just had to talk to individual business owners one at a time. And we continue to do that today. We don't work with everyone. We don't want to work with everyone. The people we work with have to have a certain growth mindset. They have to have maybe dabbled a little bit and understand that content marketing or marketing is an important part of their business, but they just don't have the know-how or the time to do it. So that becomes an important aspect of it. But it truly started with we had zero clients, and then we had one client, and then we had two clients, and then we kind of grow on from there to exponentially grow the business. And I think when you're building that reoccurring model at the very beginning, I think if you even took like a Dropbox or a box, they started with one client and then two clients, right? And then it just built up from there.
Eric, how did you figure out where the opportunity was to bill clients on a monthly basis?
Well, clients started coming to us. I believe proof of concept is very important. Just like David, you asking someone to be on your podcast. The first person you ask to be on your podcast, they might be like, whose podcast is this? This podcast is never going to last. Like, why would I do this? So you have to have proof of concept. And I felt like our own proof of concept was our own business. So you mentioned in the introduction, Sportsypreneur, that's our content platform. When I started building Sportsypreneur, it was really just, I read a lot about business, entrepreneurship, and sports. I love all those things. I love those things. But I was like, well, I don't want to just like create a Buffalo Bills blog or an Ohio State blog, or I don't want to create another rival to entrepreneurship or Entrepreneur Magazine, right? That's not going to work out. So I was like, well, how can I create parallels or analogies? So we started writing about things because I found myself talking like that to salespeople in our organization. And so we created this website, started writing the content, didn't really know what it was going to become of it, but started to see very early that people were then coming to me to say, I want to talk to you about that. And oh, by the way, what else do you do? And they found about the insurance, but you know, that's not exciting to talk about. And they're like, well, if I were to do something like that, could you help me do that? And so that became the way to build that business and to then say, this is what we can turn into a recurring revenue model where clients now want to pay us for it. We weren't even asking for it. They say, I see what you're doing there. Can you do that for me? Now, of course, it would be something different. They might be into travel. They might want to talk more just specifically about their business. They might be a speaker. They might, you know, who knows? They might be into a charity that they really want to talk about. Those became the things that they came to us for that ultimately led to them saying, we want to engage with you on a monthly basis. Will you take our money?
So at this point, given what has evolved, who would you say is your ideal client?
Yeah, so it's small business owners and small business owners. I mean, that's a tough question, depending on who you're talking to. But anyone from one to a few people to, you know, companies that are under, let's say, 20 employees, we want to deal directly with the decision maker because we realize if we start talking to someone who's not the decision maker, it's got to run up a ladder. We haven't built a relationship. They truly don't understand what it is that we're talking about. Once we have that conversation, I believe they start to see it. But it is someone who has a growth mindset, entrepreneur. A business owner has a growth mindset, has done some marketing in the past, even on the smallest scale. They believe that a blog, that a podcast, that a video can actually help their business. We are not trying to convince the unconvincible. I think in time, the unconvincible are getting more convinced. That's just going to happen naturally. And then they'll come and want to talk about it. And then, you know, of course, having the ability, their business is successful enough that they want to partner. They value partnerships, just like we value partnerships. They value in I'm willing to pay someone to help me do this. And I think that's very important. It's not easy to do. I understand it. We have both relationships internally and externally, and we value them because we realize that they're the expert. It's no different than if we're an insurance specialist, right? And we go to a wealth advisor, they realize that they're bringing us in to be the specialist. No different on the marketing side. They have this business. They have incredible stories. That's why we love talking to business owners. Business owners, just like David, you were telling me about your story, my story, other stories that exist out there, they have these incredible stories. We want to help them tell that story, but we realize how much time is involved with telling that story. And it's not easy to do. Trust me, when I started putting my first blog post out or talking on a podcast, I'm like, who is going to listen to this thing besides my mother and my aunt in San Francisco, California, right? Like they're going to be my biggest fans. And that's great. And maybe my kids will listen to it once in a while, but who else is going to listen to it? So it's very hard to put yourself out there. But I believe once you do it, and if you have the support of someone that's working with you that is genuinely believes in we have to believe in that story because we invest in business owners. I don't want to be out there working with a business owner that we don't believe in what their message is, what their business is. But if we do, now we can help tell that story and they can go on doing whatever they do best and we can just help craft that story for them.
Yeah, sounds great. Eric, what do you think are the most important ingredients to smash the plateau?
Well, there's a few things, and I'll tell you the thoughts that come into my head. One, and I've mentioned this already, is having trusted people. And I said both internally and externally. So if you are a solopreneur, I think that's great. And I think you can form relationships. But if there are a couple people, this is what I was leading to before. My business partner, Shane Snively, was a client of mine, was a friend of mine. And he was also someone said, if you ever build your business on, go out and build this business and become the entrepreneur that I know you want to become, I want to be a part of it. And I think it's like teaming up. If in football, for example, you need to have the offensive coordinator and your defensive coordinator. You finally get hired for that big head coaching job. You need to go find that offensive and defensive coordinator. Shane Snively became probably both of those things at the same time. So you need to have those trusted people that are truly believing in everything that you're doing. But I also believe you need that externally as well. We live in a world now where we can have conversations like we're having right now, and you're in one state and I'm in another state. It's very easy to have a conversation with anyone anywhere in the world, and they can become someone that is a trusted person that's a part of your network. So you have to associate. That's why podcasts became so important to me. I might not know these people that I'm listening to, but I kind of feel like I do know them when they tell their story. I also believe you need one fan. I don't know who that fan is. Like I said before, maybe it's your mother, maybe it's your aunt. Hopefully it's someone in business as well, because so many people are going to doubt what you're doing and what you're saying. Like, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. But one fan alone can change so much in your mind. And if they're a good fan, they're going to help you believe in what you're talking about so you can continue carrying that message, because that thing might not hit home for a couple of years and you really need that support. One thing we talk a lot about is refinement. You have to constantly refine your messaging, constantly refine your story, your branding, your website, your business, whatever that is, you have to refine it. We refine all the time. Sometimes I was like, am I refining it too much? But I think it's very important to refine. Two more things is realization. I think, and this is a basic one, of how incredible your phone is. I'm just amazed as to what we can do on the phone with the social media apps that are there, email, text, basic stuff. And you have to do it in the genuine way, not, hey, I do content marketing, let me sell you some content marketing. No, just have real conversations with real people, with real business owners. And it's amazing the stuff that it will lead to. Don't get me wrong, it takes a ton of time. That's how we built this agency, to help business owners, like you're saying, smash that plateau. And the last one is read and listen. And when I knew I was going to build my business, I started reading and listening to books and podcasts at a rate I never thought I could even accomplish. And to a point now where I just love it. And I do so much of it. So you can learn from stories, you can learn how to's, you can podcast and Audible. I listened at 1x speed, then I went to 1.5. I'm at 2x speed now, because if I can listen to something in an hour, but it takes me 30 minutes to actually do, that's incredible for me. So the stories you can get from it, I'll give you one quick example, is the Phil Knight's book, which I'm sure many people here have read, Shoe Dog. It's just the stories you hear out of business, where you find that these amazing companies that existed where they almost went out of business. They were minutes away from their business being shut down. And here you go, and you have this company, Nike, which everybody knows about, and you didn't realize like how their struggle was, or Amazon, the Everything Store, and Jeff Bezos, and they had someone running to the bank to make sure their line of credit stayed open before their accounts got shut down, and they were out of business. Or Steve Jobs, these are high-end books, but Steve Jobs, you know, on their way to a huge meeting, getting picked up, and he's at an apple orchard, right? And they're like, well, we got to come up with the name of a company right now, and they pick the name Apple. Like, those stories, to me, to a lot of entrepreneurs, they just resonate. So I would just say you have to read, you have to listen, you have to move fast and really enjoy the entire process of it all.
Eric, whom do you know personally who's done a remarkable job at smashing the plateaus?
Well, I want to give you, if I could, three people.
Sure.
So, and I'll move fast, but John Priori, I think this is, and they're all different levels, right? So John Priori is our social media producer, but he is an intern. He is a college student. So soon to be graduate, we hear so much out there about college students that when they get out of college, they run into the plateau, right? Because, well, I can't get a job, or I got a job and I hate my job and I hate my life. I want to go back to college. I was there. I was like, what am I doing out here? I should have stayed in college for 6 years. Why did I graduate in 4 years? But John became this intern for us. First of all, he found me on social media, found me on Twitter, sent a message, had a conversation, like we found a lot of our own clients on social media, because I do know it works. So here's this person who came to me, not just by the old-fashioned way of sending me a resume. he just engaged with me. And all of a sudden he comes in as an intern, learns, proved his value, was willing to go onto the front lines. And he's working full time for us while in college. He's graduating in May, and he'll be here working in our office starting in May. So I think that's someone at a very young level that has smashed the plateau. But I'll tell you this, now he's going to have to smash new plateaus. So that's John. And then Cynthia Kay, who you may know from the National Small Business Bureau or Association, I'm sorry. And Cynthia is a client of ours, but she was stuck in building her brand, but she saw the opportunity that if she could build her personal brand, that not only would it help her business, but also opportunities that she was looking for, like speaking engagements, workshops, and just overall finding new productive relationships. Her website, CynthiaKBiz.com. And I think that's an incredible one. And the last one, and I kind of touched on this at the very beginning. This is someone who's not here anymore, but this is my grandfather. And my grandfather had his brother and his mom. And his mom was an immigrant who escaped from Russia when she was very young. When my grandfather grew up, he went to the Navy and eventually, like I said before, ran the John Hancock General Agency in Buffalo, New York, and right before that, Niagara Falls. But against all odds, he and his brother went on to do amazing things. And of course, he passed too soon. But really, there's not a day goes by where I don't think what my grandfather would have done, given those opportunities that we have in a 2018 world, he destroyed the plateau. And I think we all can find someone in our lives to look up to that smashed the plateau and really simply be grateful for the opportunity we have to do what we're doing and to make those people that came before us proud.
So speaking of that, Eric, how are you going to smash the plateau in the future? What's coming up for you?
Yeah, so I believe it's our next level of growth with CASCM, with our content marketing company from 16 to 17. And we grew up just exponential, 800 something percent. We're going to continue to do that with our business. So I think you can look forward to see the next level of growth from our content marketing company, but that is all because of the great clients. I mentioned Cynthia Kay is one of them. We have many other clients. Push-ups for Parkinson's is a cause run by Evan Cutler, who's building a foundation. And it's all about a movement of doing push-ups for just awareness around the Parkinson's disease. So we want to talk a lot more about stories of our clients' successes. We just love most when we find out about a client of ours that has had success because of something that we were involved in. Maybe it's an article we created. Maybe it's a conversation that we started on Instagram, or maybe it's something we did on Twitter, or just a conversation we had with just any other person that we work with on a day-to-day basis. So look for that that next level growth, but also the successes of our clients. And that is a result of the growth that we're having.
Sounds great. How can listeners learn more about you and follow you?
Yeah. So my website or our website is CASSource.com. And of course, you can find me on social. I think Twitter is a great place to connect. A lot of great conversation we can have there. My name there is Eric, E-R-I-C underscore CAS, K-A-Z, or happy to connect with anybody on LinkedIn. Send me a message there and love to learn more about you.
Sounds great. Well, Eric, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. I know you and I have been talking about doing this episode for a long time, so I'm glad it has finally happened.
Absolutely. Good things come to those who wait. But no, really, David, it's been my pleasure to be on here. Thank you so much.
My guest today has been Eric Kasimov, the CEO of CASSource. Thank you again, Eric, for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm David Schreiner-Khan. Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, part of the Best Network, dedicated to supporting individual entrepreneurs who are experts in their field, but may not be an expert at running a business. If you're a solopreneur who's an expert in your field, but not necessarily smashing your plateau in business, and you want to ramp your recurring revenue, join our Best Network. Receive expert individual and team mentorship, peer support, and curated educational content that reinforces and expands on our goal of the show, helping you get your business the recurring revenue it deserves. To learn more about joining the Best Network, go to smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. That's smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. Join us and smash your plateau.